Madam Chair, members of the Commission, I would like to introduce, joining me here at the table today, Charlie Rains. He is the Forest Conservation Director for Forterra, a nonprofit conservation organization, and Steve Bazangra, our Region 1 Regional Director. It looks like we have our program loaded here. On today's agenda, the department is recommending the acquisition of three properties. The first property is located in Kittitas County in the upper Yakima River Basin. The second property is located in Mason County on Hood Canal at Lynch Cove. And the third property is located in Asotin County on the Grand Ronde River. However, before we discuss the individual transactions, I'd like to review the department's process for acquiring land for fish and wildlife conservation. When acquiring habitat for fish and wildlife, the department is guided by species and habitat plans that identify conservation and restoration actions that will benefit fish and wildlife. Project scoping and need are identified in these plans. Projects then go through an evaluation and prioritization step, which includes the Lands 2020 process, before the land transaction step begins. For the items the department is recommending today, the scoping and need step and the evaluation and prioritization step have been completed, and we are now at the land transaction step. We have completed most of the stages within the land transaction step. We have completed appraisal and appraisal review, negotiated and secured options, and are now at the stage of recommending approval by the Fish and Wildlife Commission. A critical stage in implementing our acquisitions is appraisal of the real property to be acquired. State law requires that real property be appraised before beginning negotiations. It also requires the agency provide the seller a written statement informing the seller of the agency's determination of value. The source of funding sets the standard for appraisal requirements. The Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice meets the requirements for state funds, while federal funds require what is commonly referred to as Yellow Book compliant appraisals. The department contracts with independent fee appraisers to conduct the appraisals. We currently have 43 firms under contract, and we request fee quotes from firms experienced with a specific type of property. Appraisals are then reviewed for compliance by the department's chief appraiser, Sean Kies, who is state certified and also holds the MAI designation from the Appraisal Institute. If federal funds are being used, review and approval by the federal agency is also required. When appraisals have passed review, a statement of just compensation is issued and negotiations with the landowner can begin. If landowner negotiations are successful, the department then brings the transaction forward and recommends approval by the Fish and Wildlife Commission. We are now at that stage with the transactions the department is recommending today. The first item today is the 640-acre Coal Creek property located in Kittitas County. The property lies south of Interstate 90 and southwest of Easton. This property has been evaluated and approved through the department's Lands 2020 evaluation process. This is a partnership project with Forterra and the Department of Natural Resources. The purpose of the project is to conserve the rich pine and mixed conifer forest habitat in this area and to protect a north-south migration corridor through the Cascade Range. This property adjoins the current department ownership in the Yakima River unit of the L.T. Murray Wildlife Area. A series of wildlife crossing bridges are contemplated across Interstate 90 to enhance and protect wildlife movement through this corridor. This property extends the migration corridor protection. The confluence of Cabin Creek and Coal Creek occurs on this property, providing riparian habitat for listed fish stocks, including bull trout and mid-Columbia steelhead. The property will be managed as part of the Yakima River unit of the L.T. Murray Wildlife Area, with operation and maintenance costs estimated at $5,120 annually to address weed control and litter issues. The annual payment in lieu of property tax to Kittitas County is estimated at $1,980. The purchase of the property from Plum Creek was funded by a grant from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Section 6 program to the Department of Natural Resources. Natural Resources provided a subgrant to Forterra, who has negotiated the transaction and is now transferring the land to the Department of Fish and Wildlife at no cost. And at this time, I'd like to invite Charlie Raines to comment.
Thank you, Dan.
Again, I'm Charlie Raines. I'm the Director of Forest Conservation at Forterra, formerly known as Cascade Land Conservancy. And I'm very pleased to be here today to present this transaction to you. We've been working closely with Dan and his staff on the Coal Creek property. He's outlined how it's got very high conservation value. The habitat is excellent, and it has a lot of public recreation opportunities. What I wanted to highlight for you in particular is how this fits into a much broader approach. We have the I-90 Wildlife Corridor, which Forterra and other organizations have been working on for over a decade. And in conjunction with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, Forest Service, and Department of Transportation, have put a considerable amount of investment in not only restoring but improving the wildlife connectivity between the North and South Cascades here in the upper Yakima Basin. As you may know, the Department of Transportation has just finished phase one of the I-90 project. If some of you have had the opportunity to drive over it, it's very nice to have that six lanes. It is a very much a collaboration between the conservation community, the state and federal agencies, and DOT to come up with a design that not only increases the capacity, deals with the avalanche situation, and actually makes the wildlife connectivity better after the project is done than it is today. And that is why the Sierra Club and other organizations have consistently supported funding for this freeway project. Going back 10 years, the Cascade Conservation Partnership raised funds to acquire some property in the Cabin Creek drainage and along the I-90 corridor, some of which was transferred to state parks, some of it to Department of Fish and Wildlife. And so, and subsequent to that, there's been some trust land transfer and some other Section 6 grant funds used in the Cabin Creek area. And as the map Dan showed you, we are now protecting a nice solid corridor along the Cabin Creek Valley that will lead to crossing structures that should be under construction in the next five years or so. So we're very pleased with our partnership with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. This is a really important project, fits into a much broader campaign that many, many people have been working on, and I urge you to support the transaction. Thank you. Dan?
Thank you, Charlie. The second item today is the proposed purchase of 2.14 acres five-star investment group property located on Hood Canal at Lynch Cove in Mason County. This property is proposed for purchase under the Lynch Cove project, which has been evaluated and approved through the Lands 2020 process. Located southwest of Belfair, where the Union River flows into Hood Canal at Lynch Cove, this project targets low-lying wetlands and salt marsh that covers water at high tides. The purpose of the Lynch Cove project is to permanently preserve the estuary, which is at risk of development. The project is supported by a number of plans, including the Department's Comprehensive Wildlife Conservation Strategy, the Hood Canal Coordinating Council's Summer Chum Recovery Plan, the Pacific Coast Joint Venture Strategic Plan, and Washington State's Coastal and Estuarine Conservation Program Plan. This is a collaborative project supported by a number of public and private partners, including Forterra, the Pacific Northwest Salmon Center, North Mason School District's Thaler Wetlands, the Great Peninsula Conservancy, and the Hood Canal Coordinating Council. The effort of these organizations to acquire many small parcels has resulted in nearly complete protection of the estuary. Lynch Cove supports over 15,000 wintering waterfowl and five species of salmon, including summer chum and chinook. The estuary provides a migratory pathway and transitional area for anadromous fish. The five-star property, along with the previously acquired Kumloo property to the north and the property to the south that just this week we've acquired an option on, will provide parking for waterfowl hunting access. This is important as there has been no walk-in hunting access in Lower Hood Canal. In addition, the firearm restrictions limit waterfowl hunting in Kitsap County. This is an important access opportunity for Kitsap County hunters and Bremerton Navy personnel for waterfowl hunting. These current parcels will allow the public to go from the planned parking area to the hunting blinds. The property has previously been used as a residential site and currently has a vacant dilapidated structure, which will be removed. There are no water rights associated with the property. The property will be managed as part of the Union River Unit of the South Sound Wildlife Area. The annual operating costs are estimated at $500 for weed and litter control, which will be covered by the existing wildlife area budget. Funding for the acquisition is being provided by a grant from the Recreation and Conservation Office under the Washington Wildlife and Recreation Program. Item 3 is the third phase of a multi-phase project to acquire the 11,973-acre 4-0 Ranch in Assotin County. This property is part of the Mountain View Project that was reviewed and approved through the Department's Lands 2020 process. The purpose of the project is to protect streams for the benefit of steelhead and bull trout and to protect upland habitat for the benefit of deer, bighorn sheep, and elk. The 2,180-acre first phase of this project was approved by the Fish and Wildlife Commission in December 2011. The 1,613-acre second phase was approved by the Commission in March of 2013. The third phase involves 2,639 acres with the purchase intended to close in January of 2014. This landscape level project connects state and federal lands. It will connect the Umatilla National Forest to the north with the Bureau of Land Management ownership to the south and east and protect a major gap in the east-west Grand Ronde riparian corridor. The project will provide a long-term habitat protection for a large intact landscape from the lowlands along the Grand Ronde River to subalpine habitats in the Wenatchee Creek roadless area, which surrounds the project on the north and west and buffers the Weenass Toucanon Wilderness. The historic management practice has focused on wildlife benefits, which has resulted in some of the highest quality habitat of this type in the state. As a whole, the terrestrial habitats are in excellent condition and will require little management except for weed control in some lowland areas. While most grassland habitats within the Grand Ronde Basin have been historically degraded by livestock grazing, this property has been well managed and represents the natural range of variation that historically existed on the landscape. Funding for the purchase of this phase will be provided by grants from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service under the Section 6 program and the Recreation and Conservation Office under the Washington Wildlife and Recreation Program. The property will be managed as part of the Grouse Flat Unit of the Blue Mountain Wildlife Area. Annual operating and maintenance costs are estimated at $21,100 to address weed control and litter control. In-lieu property tax payments to Assotin County are estimated at $2,650 per year. As with Phase 1 and 2 of this project, the purchase will be subject to leases signed at closing, wherein the seller will lease back the agricultural and cattle grazing opportunities on the property. The approved leases will be consistent with the 1309 grazing legislation, the Wildlife Area Habitat Conservation Plan, and grant funding approval. The leases will be at standard department rates, offsetting some of the cost of operation. This will continue through each phase of the project, jointly managing for working landscapes while transferring the ownership of the property. At the inception, this project was reviewed with the Assotin County Commissioners and received a formal letter of support in 2008. The department has continued to keep the county informed of progress, and the county has recently confirmed their support for the completion of all phases of this project. This project is also supported by the Nez Perce Tribe, the Mule Deer Foundation, the Wild Sheep Foundation, the Canyon Birders, the Tri-State Steelheaders, the Kelly Creek Flycasters, the Blue Mountain Land Trust, and the Snake River Salmon Recovery Board. The department recommends the commission approve the land transactions as presented, and we would be glad to address any questions.
Thank you. Nice job, as always. Any questions for Dan? Commissioner Kehoe.
Chair, you know, I'm still relatively new to my role here as a commissioner, so and my question is more of a general one, not so much to any of these transactions, although it's more geared toward the last transaction you mentioned, the Asotin. I mean, this is a big parcel of land, obviously. And you addressed in your remarks part of my question. I want to talk more generally about the department's approach. And that is when you've got a very large parcel of land that you're purchasing, is it part of the department's process or the land 2020 process to consult with local governments, you know, county commissions? And I'm just interested because and the reason I ask that is I happen to be, before I was on the commission, I was across the street in a legislative hearing room, and I heard concerns about from Okanagan County commissioners about certain transactions that are already taking place and the effect on the county's budget. So I guess my question is, sorry for the long-winded intro, but just kind of so for my own information, what the department typically does in terms of consulting with counties, governments, when you've got a big land transaction, such as this one in Asotin.
Thank you, Commissioner, for the opportunity to address that question. On all of our transactions, at the inception of the project, as the project is being developed, scoped, and determined, at that point in time, we consult with the county commissioners in any whatever county the project is in as the project is being developed. In fact, the funding through the Washington Wildlife and Recreation Program, through the Recreation and Conservation Office, even requires that consultation before we can even apply for funding with them. But it's just good business otherwise, even if it's federal funds, to consult with the county government at the inception of the project. Certainly that was done with this project in 2008, and Steve Bezangra, regional director, has continued that discussion with the county. Leading up to and including recently a formal agreement to continue on with the project. I trust that's...
Yeah, no, I think that's... That's good to know. It's just not the department going out and saying, boy, we really like this piece of property, we're going to go and get it, and not considering impacts on local communities and local governments. So
that's correct. Thank you.
Dr. Henderson, did you want to?
I had a separate question.
About this last issue that Commissioner Kehoe brought up, and specific reference, you'll see also in the proposal on in Kittitas County. You'll see in your book where there was a letter from the county commissioners in support. It's no secret for sure that we've had. Been engaged in some challenging conversations with Okanagan County over the course of the last, say, 4 years. I've made a couple of trips up to Okanagan County, and we've had a team made up, led by the regional director when Dennis Beach was there, and more recently with Jim Brown, in continuing that dialogue with Okanagan County. As a matter of fact, there was a meeting just this week, I believe. Yeah, it was this week with the county commissioners in Okanagan County. And there has been, over the time period in which we've been discussing public ownership of land within Okanagan County. There's, you know, obviously there's been turnover in county commissioner on the commission. So we're continuing that that dialogue, but at the same time, we have, as you've seen with this, in a recognition, and there was a reference to the value of having public access, public and the recreational values and the attributes from an economic perspective to the counties that are a result of having public access to land such as the one that is before you in Asotin County. So each county's a little bit different, and we're working hard with the county commissioners. There's certainly been an expectation on behalf of the commission, even though even prior to it being a requirement of us ensuring that the commission understands what the perspective of the county commission is before we ask for approval of an acquisition or a conservation easement. In Okanagan County, about a year and a half ago, we had an agreement to do an economic analysis in the county on the impacts associated with land currently under private ownership being converted to public ownership. And we, unfortunately, that agreement to do that unraveled. And so we're currently doing independent economic analysis of that question to help bring back to the conversation an economic picture of how transfer of land ownership from private to public affects the economics of the particular county. And I think the other thing is the payment in lieu of taxes, the PILT payments, where we've gone through some very difficult budget times in the state budget, has impacted the amount of money that we have been allotted to pay PILT in a negative way. And one of the statements that came from Asotin County was that their expectation of us to continue to be strong supporters of getting sufficient funds through the legislative process to pay the PILT responsibilities that are associated with these land acquisitions. That, along with some other reasons we can talk about maybe at a different time, is another thing that we've been looking at conservation easements as opposed to fee acquisitions. Because there is there's both from a maintenance and operation and cost perspective as well as a PILT responsibility that you don't incur with the conservation easement is an avenue that we've been using as well. So I don't know if that, I'm hoping that adds a little bit to your understanding of what we're doing and why working up front in terms of before we embark on a project, that we're in close communication with the county commissioners, we understand any concerns that we have, so that we can modify, if need be, our approach to in recognition of issues that they might raise to us. So that's a very, very important part of our process, and one that has been highlighted in a big way in the last 3 or 4 years as part of our process.
Okay. Commissioner Kenny was next, and then...
Thank you. A couple of quick things, and then I had a question for Dan. I think one of the more powerful testimonies I've heard since I've been a commissioner was when a county commissioner from Okanagan County was here testifying on a land purchase, or I believe it was a purchase, and was fairly much against it. Yeah, but then the landowner also came and testified that was involved in that sale and gave a very different picture of what how he viewed it, what he felt it meant to the community in terms of the same tax dollars he currently paid were going to be paid by Pilt, that the land was going to be developed because he had no other choice. He had to either sell it or develop it. And he didn't want to see it developed because of its intrinsic wildlife values. He made a very compelling argument as to why that land purchase should go through that was different than what the county commissioner was saying. I'm not saying either one was right or wrong, but it was a very powerful testimony to hear both from a county standpoint as well as the private landowner who was choosing to sell for very good reasons, and that he made a very compelling case that these were positive things for the community as well. But my question now to Dan is, on this particular purchase, it would appear that the taxes or the payment in lieu of taxes is about $2,600, so about 2,600 acres, about a dollar an acre. It would seem like a very low amount of taxes. I've heard the argument in the past, though, that the current tax that a lot of landowners pay is very low. It's probably being taxed on an open space type of taxation. What I tend to see in our newspaper is that the county asked then for a lot of money in Pilt and didn't get it. Well, they weren't getting it before. And I'd like to, if you could clear that up a little bit, because I feel sometimes it's portrayed inaccurately that the taxes that are being paid on these large open space lands is not a huge amount, and payment in lieu of taxes oftentimes comes close to what the current taxes were. Could you clear that up, or do I have that right or wrong?
Yes, I'll do my best to try to explain. In the most land that's over 20 acres in the state is held in some form of open space or in forest land. There's two different categories, two different statutes there. In the open space category, there is open space open, just flat open space. There's open space timberland, and then there's open space agricultural land. This property specifically is held some in open space timberland and some of it is in open space agricultural land. The both of those categories, and I don't have the percentages of them, but both of those two categories, open space agriculture and open space forest land, are running a abatement of the tax somewhere in the 90% range. 80 to 90% reduction in what would be normal property tax. The open space open category is roughly a 50%, and in some counties just a straight across the board 50%. It can vary if they have a different style of plan in the county, and I don't have a good description of that. But the result is in most of these properties, if the county avails themselves of the open space open rate, which they can do, that's what the statute provides for them to do that, we will end up providing the county more payment in Pilt than the landowner has been paying in open space agriculture or open space timberland. And that is the case on this property, and virtually every property we buy is the case.
Thank you. That I feel it's just important to continually clear that up, because it continually is portrayed differently, that the taxpayer was paying more taxes than they will now receive from the state, and I really feel it's important to tell the other side of the story, which you've done very well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Holtzmiller?
Right in the heart of this was 800 acres that a local timber company had owned and Mike had acquired, so I guess it was just one of those deals, an argument for another day, questioning the appraisal, because the DNR, when the timber company acquired it, had it appraised at 450, and then the timber company ended up trading with Mike for some other ground that he had for sale for 800. Now, granted, there is some intrinsic value to put together a big place like this. I guess my question is, and I've been fielding this question from people in our area, I can see where you've had these three purchases where you couldn't open it up for hunting, for deer and elk. How much longer is this area, this 4-0 ranch, going to be on a permit-only basis?
I'd ask Steve Pazanger to address it.
Thank you, Dan, and Commissioner Holtzmiller. Currently, the areas that the department is acquiring, and so Dan showed you the phase one and phase two acquisitions that have occurred, and this area, if approved by the commission, moving into a phase three, becoming department ownership. The areas are being operated for deer and elk hunting as permit-only areas, and so individuals are applying for the opportunity to receive a tag for the 4-0 ranch hunt and then being selected to hunt deer or elk in those areas. That comes at the recommendation of our local district biologist in conjunction with our wildlife program and our regional program manager in the area. So what I would say is that I know that we have a three-year package process coming up, and we'll initiate scoping for that. Actually, it would be next spring, I think, scoping would start for the next three-year package. We know that this is going to be a topic of interest for the public, and I would expect that we would be looking at the management situation there for deer and elk hunting on the 4-0 ranch during that process. I'm not going to, I would not want to guess what the biological recommendation would be. I do know that going into permit controlled deer and elk hunting at the recommendation of the biologists and the program, it was because of the interest in maintaining the resident herds that are on the property. And allowing for a very high-quality hunting experience to occur so that we don't simply blow animals off of the property and back onto other lands. And so that will be looked at through that scoping process. Not going to guess on the outcome. But I do want to make sure that folks recognize that if you step back in time, this 12,000-acre block of land has been closed for any type of public access opportunity previously. And then the landowner, in negotiations with the department, moved into a landowner hunting permit program where there were permits that would be awarded to the landowner under their control in exchange, and under department and commission policy, in exchange for some degree of permits that were available to the public through the selection process. So as the department acquires more of this property, the number of permits that the landowner has had under the previous landowner hunting permit program, those go away, and the number of permits available for public draw for deer and elk will increase. And then just lastly, I want to make sure that the commission understands that the property is open 24/7, 365 for appropriate hunting activity within the constraints of any given season. That includes turkey, grouse, bear, cougar, that hunting activity, and intense interest in the area by the equestrian groups and the horseback riders, and the area has become very popular with hikers, horseback riders, photographers, and so there are other public access benefits that are occurring on the property. But we do recognize that the issue of permit-controlled deer and elk hunting is one that's there and one that we'll be looking at and working through with both the wildlife program as well as through the public process.
Well, in your defense, the way it was acquired, it would be really tough. Now that we're over to basically to Wenatchee Creek, that area could be blocked off, and you know, I can see your point up to this point, but I think going forward, is the amount of money that's been spent to this point, there it is of concern.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Commissioner Schmitten, did you have a comment, question? Anyone else? Okay. Before we call for public input, I wanted to thank you all. Thank you, Mr. Rains, for the wonderful work that you do. The wildlife corridors, we've heard briefings on the terrific contribution that you're making. We really appreciate it.
We'd be happy to come back and give you a briefing at some point in time on the overall I-90 project and bring our other partners in to help explain. This is a wonderful project, and like I say, it's great having DFW as a partner.
Yeah, terrific. Thanks. Okay, is there any public input? There is none. I think we're ready for a motion. Commissioner Smith?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to approve the proposed land transactions as presented.
Do I hear a second? Commissioner Keeney has seconded the motion to approve the land transactions as presented. Further comment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you all.